Smooth Things or True Things by Tony Alamo, 2014. The deceived people of the world have always wanted to hear sweet, smooth things rather than the truth. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 31 and 32. Sweet, smooth things will not set you free. Satan uses them to deceive you. John 14, 5 and 6 states, "Thomas saith unto him, Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." After waiting 4 days to come to the place where they buried Lazarus, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it you." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Believe you this, truth?" she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." John 11, 21 through 27. In John 6, 47, Jesus states, "He that believes on me hath everlasting life." In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus also said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, tells the fate of those who do not believe the truth, those who are a part of today's unbelieving world Antichrist movement, in these words, "And now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Could this all be truth? Does history back this up? The answer is yes. We see one example of this during the time of Noah, when Noah preached God's message that the whole world would be flooded in 120 years. Did that happen? The answer is yes. There are a variety of fish and animal fossils throughout the entire world, even in deserts and on mountaintops. Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2 states, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, such as Seth, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah," in other words, believers in God are the sons of God, "saw the daughters of men that they were fair. These were the sinful daughters of Cain and others like him." In other words, the daughters of men are the daughters of those who don't believe in God. Again, the sons of God are not angels. They are the sons of God, like those of us who believe the gospel. Because we are the sons of God, we are not permitted to be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. If we married unbelieving women, we would be sinning, because it is against the commandment of God for believers to marry unbelievers. Also, angels don't have sex organs. Neither do believers who have gone into heaven to be with God. When we, the sons and daughters of God, have gone into heaven to be with God, our uncomely parts don't come with us. This is because in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. Sexual intercourse is for marriage, for reproduction purposes. So if there's no marriage or reproduction in heaven, there is no need for sex organs. Therefore, when false prophets tell you that angels had sex with women that were not angels, but daughters of men, and that these unions produced giants, they are falsely prophesying to you. If giants are produced from ungodly unions, it would only be because the sons of God, godly men, married satanic women, daughters of men who had no interest in God, and none of them cared whether they sinned or not, whether they broke God's commandments or not. This attitude is the same as the attitude of today's men and women. This is why hell has enlarged itself. Isaiah 5, verses 13 through 16 states, "Therefore my people, the sons of God, are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." God is able to expand the borders of hell, however wide they have to be, for you and for me, if we decide to sin, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Now back to Genesis 6, verse 2. "They took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Here the Lord is telling the people he's going to end it all, the whole world, in 120 years. Did he do it? Yes, he did. Did he do it merely because the saved were getting married to the unsaved? That's part of it. That's what the Bible, God's word, says. Do you believe it? I pray that you do. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Genesis 6, verses 2 through 7. Do you think that the people of the world cared or believed what God was saying? The answer is no. If they had cared, they would have repented, and God would not have killed all of them, the whole world, except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Let's do a little test here, because I want to see if you people of the world are the same as the people of the world in the days of Noah. God said you are the same today as the people in the world were in the days of Noah. Jesus said it in this way in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, if you believed this, would you still condone and be sympathetic towards homosexuality, lesbianism, and same-sex marriages as you are today? In Genesis 19:4, the Bible talks about these lewd individuals attempting to break into Lot's house to have sex with the Lord himself. The record is this: before the Lord and his companion lay down for a night of rest, and the iniquity of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah was full, as it is in the world today, In Sodom, the last drop was added to the fiery cup of wrath to be poured upon their heads. They received the warning of the destruction of their city as an idle tale and treated the messengers with contempt. So dreadful a thing it is to slight God's offered salvation, even though it should be meant only for once. For when these two angels of mercy go back to God who sent them, they may kindle behind them God's fires of wrath. The men of Sodom did not think they were doing anything unusual when they surrounded the house of Lot and came near to break the door. They were no more riotous or immoral on the last night than they had been many nights before. However, there is a point beyond which divine forbearance cannot go. They reached that point when they clamored against Lot and would have beaten him down in the streets for protecting his angelic and divine guests. When blindness fell upon them, and they wearied themselves trying to find the door, they had already passed the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. Today, the UN world government is teaching this perversion in our public schools as a third sexual choice, which eventually guarantees the destruction of our children to hell and the lake of fire. We are considered hate mongers for opposing these lewd reprobates. Then the hour of doom struck. The Lord rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven upon the city and upon the beautiful plain that seemed like paradise the day before. The smoke of the fire went up as the smoke of a great furnace, and the glare of the big destructive fire was seen far off by shepherds on the hills of Hebron and the mountains of Moab. In one moment, the fair vale, which had been as the garden of the Lord in its beauty and fertility, became desolate, a place never to be inhabited from generation to generation. It became a valley of desolation and death, where the wandering Arab never dared to pitch his tent, nor the shepherd to make his fold. It became a haunted and horrible region, doleful in reality, and clothed with additional terrors by gloomy superstitions and evil imaginations. Do you believe that God despises these lewd dreamers, these sexual perverts, as much as the Bible says he does? It's obvious that many of you don't, because you keep agreeing with the big push for homosexuality, lesbianism, and the same-sex marriage, to the point of even teaching it in our public schools and joking about it in the Vatican-controlled media. Romans 1, verse 32 states, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." In our world today, you even teach these things in our public schools, throughout the vast Vatican media, and in the Vatican Roman Catholic Church cults throughout the entire world. These are the homosexual, lesbian, and pedophile church cults. I pray that all of you will repent, but I don't believe you will because the Bible says you won't. I still pray for you because hell and the lake of fire are so horrible. The Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, tells us that God is not only going to burn up a few towns, such as Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain, but heaven and earth will become two giant fireballs. The Apostle Peter tells it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." You'd have to be very naive or very stupid, knowing that God ruined the entire earth for less than what you people are doing, should you believe he's going to allow this to continue on without him wrecking it again? Do you really believe such a thing? But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This statement was made by Peter about 2,000 years ago. Now it's the end of time. God has been patient for all these years, but there is a point beyond which divine forbearance cannot go. The world today has reached beyond that point. Billy Graham stated that God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he allowed this world to continue in its present condition. This world, the way it is even more depraved than ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then, now, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, sin, and blameless. If it's your desire to escape an eternity in the most horrible places, hell and the lake of fire, and to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven, where eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, keep his commandments, then repent of your sins by saying this prayer: My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul, and I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command and sin no more.